If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is Releasing the Imperative to Know and Control Outcomes and Live in Radical Trust. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and evoke and call your higher principles, your divine self forward, and have the intention of integrating as much of your wholeness as you possibly can. Ride the energy right down into your feet. Take another deep breath and call yourself forward again, using your intention, and experience the divine light, omnipresent knowing, and radiant bliss that is your true self. Feel it integrate and fill the totality of what you know to be yourself. And we'll start with chanting the HUE, H-U, which is a wonderful chant to clear your energies and your mind, and bring you into a state of divine receptivity. Deep breath. You. You. If you had your eyes closed and you saw that purple light come in, that's the consciousness of the beloved that we're working with this evening. And that is the Christ action of pure grace. So releasing the imperative to know and control outcomes. Wow. That's like something so familiar to all of us because we all really try to make things come out the way we would like them to. And we have this imperative to know what's going to happen, right? So we can control the outcomes. But we're actually being called to a higher level, and that's to live in radical trust. Now that's going to take quite a quantum leap, a shift, in how we have navigated the inner and outer terrain of our life. So divine spirit meets us at the point of our faith and trust. And faith we could define as the infancy that matures into trust. So you tuck in where you can with that. But it takes radical courage to live in radical trust. In fact, if you would live the divine awakened life, live just the opposite of what everyone else calls normal, and you'll be right there. What people call normal on this planet and in this dimensional, what could we call it? Charade of reality, charade of unreality, that is entirely insane, upside down, and totally whack when it comes to the higher understanding. There's not an iota of normalcy about the way people are living on the planet right now. It's
totally insane. Why? Well, for one thing, people are caught in a bad dream. They're caught in a dream they have taken to be reality. And they get very irritated and upset when you try to point out, hello, you're asleep, wake up. Because we all pride ourselves arrogantly with the assumption that we know what's going on. And moreover, that we have some control that we can exert on the outcome. Let's get real here. What in actuality do you control? I mean, really. Do you control the next thought you have? No, you don't even know the next thought you have. Do you control the next breath, the next heartbeat? Of course not. Did you control when you came into the planet? Will you control when you leave the planet? No. Do you know anything about what came before or what will come after? Most of you know. Most of you are busy with other interests and other things, and you're not inquiring into these things, which should be the main curriculum for having taken birth in the first place. To find out, to discover, to explore and delve deeply into who am I? Why am I here? What's the purpose of all of this? What's my destination? And underneath all the pain and suffering and angst and doubts and confusions, what is real and solid that I can place trust into? That I can have faith in. Every single embodied being on the planet has to find that out for themselves. Some of us who've been at this a little longer and have some realization of these things can guide and point. But each one must do the work themselves, because you're not going to believe or trust or know anything unless you've had the direct experience. Unless it's become experiential to you, it is just more hearsay. And you can't work the information. The transformation has to be worked through inner realization and application in life of the realizations that you have come to. And every single person is at a different place in that, a different stage. You have to recognize your stage and work with what you've got available and make it work for you. And don't worry, when you've outgrown it, it'll boot you out. You'll get fired from that job that no longer serves your higher good. That person that you weren't meant to be with beyond a certain season and cycle will leave in some form, or you'll divorce them. That place in life that you thought was sheer hell that you'd never get out of, once you accept it and see it as the lesson and blessing that it is, it will push you out. You will be extruded from the things that you have outgrown. You can trust that. You can trust that there is something that is living in you, through you, and expressing through you, that regardless of who you think you are in your limited little self-concept is going to directly deliver you into radiant divinity that is all-knowing, everywhere present, and pure love, which is also ever-expanding creative intelligence, because it is the very nature of the Godling that we are to expand the bliss and the awareness and the omnipresence of that which is. That supreme it of itself. So can you recall a time in your life when you acted on radical trust? What did you feel? Well, I know when I have felt a thrill of exhilaration, of empowerment, and freedom. There is such joy when you let go control and you leap. What do you leap into? The very highest place of trust that you can reach into. Because when you do that, the divine spirit meets you exactly at that place. And you will never be destroyed. Never. Never. Whatever it is, divine spirit will come right up under you and operate miraculously through you in the event in which you find yourself. That's absolute truth. So how much of a control addict are you? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being total control freak, where would you rate yourself? And that gives you an idea of how far you are from living a life of radical trust. So your homework is pointed out in this little self-analysis. So, you know, it's a normal thing, I suppose, if you'd call insanity normal, which we tend to do on this planet, to make some attempt at controlling events in our lives to some extent. In fact, the more one identifies with being a limited human being in a scary, unpredictable world, the more effort is exerted to control events. And it's natural, I suppose, that one would like to have events and situations turn out favorably. But that's only when the consciousness is operating in a dualistic state, where there is a strong investment in the belief in good and evil, for example. And the stronger that belief is, the more one will fight to control the situation, so that good rather than evil may prevail. So the history of the world and every culture has been based on this dualistic belief, and that is why there's never been lasting peace, and why nearly every person lives in uncertainty, mental agitation, and concern about the future. The attempt to know beforehand so as to control the outcome has been humanity's number one strategy. So let me ask you this. What can you really know about the future? You know, when I was still a really young child, I would try to outwit fate by imagining as many bad outcomes as I possibly could for any event that I was concerned about. And what I would do if that happened. My belief at the time was that none of these bad things I could imagine would ever happen. So there had to be a positive outcome. But what I learned was that nearly every time something totally unexpected happened. So I was attempting a kind of reverse psychological approach. And did it work? Well, to a certain degree, yes. But I believe because I had the faith and belief that it would. Or maybe just because it wasn't in my cards for me to experience those other things. So there again, because we are divine beings having a temporary human field trip to Earth, we give the only reality anything has for us. We actually give life to whatever we think, we accept to be so, and even what we look at, your very attention and visually placing your eyes on it, whatever it is, gives it life. Be aware that you bring the divine life the activation and quickening of life to whatever you focus your consciousness on. You are the life giver to your reality. So, without believing something to be so, it doesn't show up. It doesn't come in to your experiential reality. And without our believing something to be so, it would have no meaning for us at all. Bear in mind that the life you experience is all inside your mind and is an interpretation solely within your brain. The mind is the field of consciousness. The brain is the receiver and interpreter of the things that you experience through your senses. Meditate on that. We hear, we think, we see, we taste, smell, touch. All inside the mind and brain. Through associations and identifications that we have formed habitually by using that particular function of the brain. That's why it says in the Bible that we need to become like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven, which is within. We have to look at things differently through the eyes that can only be quickened by the divine spirit from within us when we're willing to make that shift. And one of the ways that can be done is what Jesus has given us in the Course in Miracles that enables that shift to take place internally. There are many other approaches too. But that has been called a cosmic, A cosmic boost. Can't remember the exact word, but we weren't getting the message that he gave before. It was getting distorted into all kinds of religious folderol. And so the Course of Miracles was given as a step-by-step, day-by-day approach to allow the Holy Spirit to transform the mind from within so that it can see as God sees. So it can love as God loves. So it can express as God expresses. So back to the control. What can you control? You know, in truth, from the human level, there is little to nothing that's under our control. Nor do we know what anything means or really what anything is for. We can't control our minds, our emotions, our habits, our addictions. Even our bodily little habitual unconscious quirks and habits. So who's in control? And when you begin to ask that question, answers begin to come. So it's important to know what questions to ask. Because when you ask the right question with complete sincerity of heart, complete willingness and desire to know, that something begins to reveal itself to you from within you, but also throughout your life, things begin to line up, synchronicities begin to happen. Things that, well, books fall off the shelf, open to the page you need to read. Somebody just happens to overhear something you're saying. Maybe somebody just walks in and says a few words, turns around, walks out, and vanishes. I mean, so many of these odd things happen when you're ready to know. You don't have to control that. You can't. But it shows up when your heart is sincere and deeply desiring to know the reality of your being. It's a beautiful thing. It's such an adventure you can't imagine. The joy and the richness of life you have once you're willing to be taught. To be taught of the divine from within you. The inner master, the Holy Spirit. The whole spirit, which is actually your own self. Without the covering of the mind and the assumptions and the conditioning, which we call the ego. So that's where the spiritual search for many people begins. Who or what operates the biological, miraculous complexities of my body? How did I happen to arrive in this body? Its dimension. Where was I before? Who created me? Who cared for me before birth? And who or what will care for me after I pass from this world? Who gave me life? Who beats my heart? Breathes through my lungs? Who or what expresses through me? Gives me sensory perception and creative intelligence? Who feels, emotes, thinks, and loves? We control none of these things. So face it, the human being neither knows nor controls the major components of life. And yet, everything functions obviously according to a higher will and ordering, a divine plan. Call it God, the Supreme Creator, Paramatma, Brahman, life, creative intelligence, whatever. And that does know and is in control. Now here are some odd facts that Jesus goes into considerable detail to explain in the Course in Miracles when you read the text. And it's an odd thing, but all we see and experience is the past. We see nothing as it truly is when we open our eyes and look around. So in the lower psychic and material universes and realms, all creation is completed. Everything is complete. That means that the physical, astral, subtle, or causal, mental, and etheric realms and worlds are simply recycling past events over and over again. All parallel probable realities and options have already been acted out by you, by me, by everyone, in every possible choice and variation. You are doing nothing new or real at all in these lower dimensional realms, but reenacting old scenarios. You have been and expressed and done it all over and over again. 18.5 million years, if you want to get real linear on the timeline. So you are finally ready to go beyond and to be born of the Spirit into real life as awakened soul. As an awakened and aware spiritual being. And you are making that major shift in consciousness from being semi-conscious and dreaming as a human to a fully conscious spiritual being. So all you're doing is letting go of the lesser to embrace the greater. And part of that transition involves releasing all the imperative to know and to control outcomes. Your real life begins as you enter the unknown. And the unknowable divine realms. Why do we say unknowable? Because you transcend knowing and knowledge itself into omnipresent all-knowingness, which is a state of awareness beyond knowledge such as we know it in this world and in this dimension and time. So you're born like a little child, in a sense, because you're innocent of preconceptions when you've transcended and dissolved a linear mind into soul awareness. And you find there's a new openness and trusting that's present with you. Perhaps the highest spiritual state we could reach in the human form is one of unconditional trust, a complete reliance upon the divine, upon the unseen, unknowable, the supreme creator, the one that's living in you as your own divine self. Now, we've all heard, you know, the phrase, let go and let God. But what does that really mean? Well, there are those illumined ones who do know and have awakened beyond knowledge itself to the illumination of awareness. And they can control themselves, and they can control the functions of their body in certain yogic states. And they can also alter events, yet they rarely do. Because everything that happens on the planet has been created by man. Mankind is the one that creates the earth changes and the volcanic eruptions and the earthquakes and the all of the shudders and tremors that the earth goes through with man's outrageous inhumanity to man. The rapaciousness of the greed and the attacking and the vengeance that we wreak on one another in the name of religion, in the name of ideology, in the name of politics, in the name of whatever, but they're all made up by humanity. None of these things were God-given. There is no such thing as politics, no such thing as religion, no such thing as cultural bias, no such thing as judgment and prejudice and againstness and hatred in the heart and mind of the Supreme God. Even God was made vengeance by man, made into a person that judges and holds us into eternal damnation if we don't do it his or her way. No, that's all been made up by man. None of that is real. None of that is true. Mankind alone brings all the problems to himself. In the divine state, there's no problems. There's nothing wrong with anyone or anything. Everything is divine and perfect. What screws it up? Man's distorted mind. The images and concepts that have been indoctrinated into the mind are not aligned with truth. They're completely filled with the darkness of ignorance. The good news is that the Holy Spirit, the Divine Spirit, is being poured forth on all flesh at this time. That's the real meaning of the apocalypse. It's the great unveiling, the great uncovering, so that every falsehood, every dark area is being brought into visible light. It's on the news. It's everywhere. You can't hide anymore. And what is being revealed is the truth, the heart, the intention, and the underlying motive that has birthed that momentum wherever we find it in the world. And we're moving into the Aquarian Age, which is an age of universal brotherhood and mutual sharing and cooperative endeavor and enjoying this planet as one family of light. And anything that's not in alignment with that is doomed to fail because it's not in alignment with a divine plan and intention. We are moving into the seventh golden age, Not in 400 or 500 years, but within this coming decade. And you're here listening to this because you want to be ready. And this is what you need to listen to and embrace of if you want to be ready. Because only those of love and devotion and surrender and faith in the divine are going to make it without any problem. But if you're caught and locked in the ego's momentums, you'll have to recycle again. Perhaps to a lower version of the earth. So the state that is very obvious, that is to be seen in anyone who is manifesting a divine state, is that of what is called in Sanskrit, Sharanagati, which is complete surrender to the divine. In India, when you see people putting their palms together and saluting, or bending down and touching or kissing or putting their forehead on the feet of an enlightened being, that is how they are physically expressing their surrender to the divine. That God-realized person embodies the divine. That's about as close as you're ever going to come to see the invisible God is through a divine avatar, which is a man or woman that completely embodies the divine presence. And so when you touch their feet, you as a person that's in the negative polarity, in the physical negative polarity, come in direct contact with those the positive energy radiating through the feet of that God-realized man or woman. And that contact is made. That's why it's so important. And it's also done as a sign of respect to one's parents, to one's elders, one's teachers, because the Eastern culture has a great reverence for the teacher, a great reverence for the guru, and a great honoring of that process of coming into surrender to the divine self. I would say it comes in with the mother's milk. It's just part of that culture. Years I've lived in India, you just imbibe that God-infused culture. And it's such a break from the way that we look at things here in the West. Although, more and more people are coming from the East and teaching, and more souls that have had recent incarnations in the East are incarnating in the West, and vice versa. So we're seeing that shift now, where the Dharma has moved now to the West. So what you see in anyone who is truly awakened spiritually is this complete trust and reliance in all things working out as they're divinely meant to. And there's a sense of total detachment from the outcomes. Greatly illumined men and women, they may be active in the world, or they may stay secluded in meditation. Each acts according to their nature and inclination. That applies, on every level. But it's who they are, and it's who you and I are, who we are, the consciousness that they and we radiate, that becomes a blessing to all life. Sometimes, like the avatar Lord Krishna and other avatars, there is no need for them to act, but they act for the benefit of all beings, to set an example by their behavior. Such was Jesus, Yogananda, Sai Baba, Ananda Mahima, other avatars. And we, as light bearers and light workers, are now being called to move into these levels of divine realization. Because as each great emissary of light moves on to higher work or other work, we step forward and take their places. And we're being called to do that. The center that we call, the center of consciousness that we call humanity, is designed to become a collective messiah, a collective avatar, if you will. And the center through which the divine will and the divine light and the divine love flows through directly onto the planet. This is the first time that humanity as a whole, as a group, is being called forward in that capacity. It's taken us 18.5 million years to get to the point where that was possible. But it's possible now. And so everything is being done in group formation. The group is the center of initiation in the Aquarian age, not the individual. The age and era of personal interaction and personal contact and one-by-one personal initiation is over. We are becoming a group that is evocative. In other words, we're calling forward our own divine spiritual promise by our collective intention to awaken spiritually. We are forming a magnetic field that's drawing and attracting and manifesting the will of God on earth. We're actually calling it into manifestation. So there's nothing that that collectivity cannot do when it is aligned one with the other as a group and the divine plan that is now being worked out through us. So I've noticed certain things in my experiences with illumined mystics and self-realized beings. Last week we spoke about the various divine states and samadhis that we go into as we awaken and as we integrate those higher levels of divine awareness. And I shared a picture of Ananda Moima, who was an avatar, a full avatar of the Divine Mother Principle. Beautiful, beautiful woman. And you can see YouTubes about Ananda Moima on YouTube. And I've posted some on my Facebook timeline so that you could watch, you know, see her interact and watch a person who is in a completely God-realized state interacting with the people who came to see her. Also Sai Baba. I post many, many, many things about Sai Baba. But you can get an idea of how a person can be fully God-realized and also be in the world and relate with people and be in that state all the time. So there's 9 states that I have witnessed that such beings live in all the time. The first is serenity. They have an inner composure and peace. The second is joy. They are in a state of contentment with what is. They're in complete acceptance of present nowness. 3, they have a total trust in the divine, complete surrender. 4, they're at home everywhere. 5, they give no thought to the personal self whatsoever. They're very impersonal, but at the same time, when you're with them, you feel like you're the only person that exists in the entire world, and they love you the most. 6, they live for others, whom they see as the one beloved. They see others as expressions of their self. 7, they're absolutely fearless. 8, they're immersed in divine absorption. When you look into the eyes of Ananda Moima, for example, or any person, Yogananda, when they're in those divine samadhi states, you can see that they're looking at another level. They're completely absorbed into a whole different level of reality and consciousness. And even when they look at you, it's like they look through you into the face of God. And number 9, God realized people embody the divine presence on earth. And when they leave earth, they simply don't have the nuisance of the physical sheath, and they can be love everywhere, divine presence everywhere. So to give you an idea of what surrender is, and don't misinterpret the word. So often we get our hackles raised when someone says surrender. We think it's giving over our power. Give me a break. What power do you have to give over? God is the only power. Get that clearly. Anything you do is only because you have tapped in to something greater that operates through you to whatever degree you allow it to. Because your ego can block the whole shebang. And we'll try to, unless you really are serious about waking up. So surrender has nothing to do with giving over your power to another person at all. You're actually surrendering to your own divinity, your own true self. And the outer form that represents that to you in the world is according to your preference. Be it Jesus, Yogananda, and Sri Yukteswar, any of the people, Krishna, Sai Baba, John Roger, put your own person there that is for you, your chosen ideal that represents the divine. If you're a person that has to have the divine form, that's fine. You're a devotee. Use that form. But never mistake the one divine spirit as being only in that form or limited by that form. In fact, someone was mentioning they touched the feet of Ananda Maima, which she very seldom allows that to happen, but this was a very advanced yogi. And he said his hands went right through her feet and he touched the floor through her feet. She was just what they would call a Maya Virupa, a mentally projected form that appears into the world. And he also said that she cast no shadow. So though they may look ordinary and human, they are superhuman, these divine avatars. So this is what Sai Baba has to say to each one of you, speaking as the divine. And I quote, "Why get agitated? Let me take care of all your business. I shall be the one who will think about them. I am waiting for nothing else than your surrender to me. And then you do not have to worry anymore about anything. Say farewell to all fears and discouragement. You demonstrate that you do not trust me. On the contrary, you must rely blindly on me. To surrender means to turn your thoughts away from troubles, to turn them away from difficulties you encounter and from all your problems. Leave everything into my hands, saying, Lord, your will be done. You think of it. That is to say, Lord, I thank you, for you have taken everything in your hands and you will resolve this for my highest good. Remember that thinking of the consequences of a thing is contrary to surrender. That is to say, when you worry that a situation has not had the desired outcome, you think, you thus demonstrate, that you do not believe in my love for you. You will prove that you do not consider your life to be under my control, and that nothing escapes me. Never think, how is this to end? What is going to happen? If you give in to this temptation, you demonstrate you do not trust me. Do you want me to deal with it? Yes or no? Then you must stop being anxious about it. I shall guide you only if you completely surrender to me. And when I must lead you into a different path than the one you expect, I carry you in my arms. What seriously upsets you is your reasoning, your worrying, your obsessing. You're obsessing your will to provide for your own selves at any price. I can do so many things. When the being, as much as in his, I can do so many things when the being, as much in his necessities as in his spiritual ones, turns to me, saying, "You think of it." Then he closes his eyes and rests quietly. You will receive a lot, but only when your prayers will rely fully upon me. You pray to me when in pain, so that I may intervene. But in a way, you desire it. You do not rely on me, but you want me to adjust your requests. Don't behave like the sick ones who ask a treatment of the doctor while all the time suggesting it to him. Do not do that, but rather even in sad circumstances say, "Lord, I praise you and I thank you for this problem, for this necessity. I pray you to arrange things as pleases you in this terrestrial and temporal life. You know very well what is best for me." Sometimes you feel that disasters increase instead of diminish. Do not get agitated. Close your eyes and tell me with faith, "Thy will be done. You think of it." And when you speak thus, I accomplish a miracle when necessary. I only think of it when you trust me totally. I always think of you, but I can only help you completely when you rely fully on me. Signed, Satya Sai Baba. Well, that gives us something to think about, doesn't it? I know when I was very concerned about things going on in the world and with the indigenous peoples and everything, he told me in a very strong inner voice, "The world is my responsibility. Leave it to me." And you have to realize that after all of these ages and thousands of years, humanity hasn't changed a single thing that's going on in the world. All of our self, ego-driven, mental plans and strategies and everything we've tried to do hasn't produced that shift that we all want to see. We don't have a world that is ever without war somewhere going on. And there's never been a time on the planet, except in the last golden age, when there was complete peace and no war. And that was thousands and thousands of years ago, the time of Lord Rama. So we're getting ready to enter the seventh golden age, which is a mini cycle within a major cycle, golden age, in which there will not be a single vestige of evil or crime or any negativity during that period of time, quoting Sai Baba. And Sai Baba has come to operate through us, guiding us and using us as his hands, his voices, his healing, his loving presence. It's flowing through us when we let go and we allow that higher divine consciousness to operate through us. As far as our problems are concerned, Sai Baba has told us in private interviews that when we have worries and problems, we should never think about them, nor should we ever talk about them to others. He said, why should you put that burden on somebody else and make them sad, make them have an agitated mind or worry about you? Deal with your problems with God. Give them over to God. And repeat the name of God that you love most. And the vibration of the holy name will dissolve all of the bad energy around that situation and rectify it. So without you doing anything but surrendering it and remembering God, God takes care of it. It gets resolved. The more you talk about it, the more you, you know, go to people, what should I do, and this is happening and that's happening, the more you do that, the more that molehill becomes a monster mountain. You keep putting energy into that narrative. Don't do that. Baba said we should absolutely not pay any attention whatsoever to problems, worries. That's, you know, that's part of what happens down here in a dualistic, polarized world. But you're being called out of that world. You're being called to be an emissary of the divine, a light bearer. You have to bear light to be a light bearer, not problems. So make that your modus operandi. When you have a problem, immediately go to God, place it in the light, release it completely to God. Say, you figure it out, you handle it. And then don't pick it up again. Don't think about it. Don't talk about it. Don't just ignore it completely. And if you do that with 100% trust that God will handle it, then it's done. And so our job is to work on the 100%, okay? We need to consistently do this. And, you know, you start where you are. But you notice when you take one step to God, God takes 1,000 to you. So just your little effort will be rewarded with God coming alongside you and supporting you in that action. You can always ask for greater faith. You can always ask for greater trust to develop. You can always ask or the strength and courage to face some of the hard things that you have to face in life. Some of the things are so crushing, you just don't know where to go with your agony and your grief. Well, the only place to go is God. Nobody else can help you. Only God. God is the only power that exists. There is only God. Everything else is something that we have projected out of our mind and paraded around us as a reality, but all of this will dissolve when you move into the divine awareness. The awareness itself dissolves all of the bad news, all of the nightmare, all of it vanishes in the light, and you are back where you've always been and never left, in the heart of God, in that pure realm of absolute life, all knowingness, and complete joy and love. You've never left the heart of God. You can't. You couldn't. You are God. You're part of God. We're all fractals of the divine. There is no way we can get out of God, away from God, divorced from God, separated from God. It's absolutely impossible. You can believe it for a time, but you'll be rescued. There is no hell but the one you put yourself in unnecessarily. Hell is defined as a state where you feel completely isolated and separated from God. But since that's impossible, it's a temporary and a false state, which you can sure make real for yourself if you're going to be stubborn and obstinate. But just saying, it doesn't exist anywhere but in your mind. Even Pope John Paul that said that hell and heaven were both states of the consciousness, states of mind. So get yourself off the judgment hook, off the guilt hook, off the self-appraisal hook, and take what God and the divine avatars have to say about you, that you are holy and whole, immortal and ever pure. And you're going from glory to glory and revelation to revelation because it's an unending expansion into greater and greater joy and abundant life that has no end. You graduate from this world and you go on to great endeavors in other dimensions and worlds. And above the psychic and material realms that we assume to be life down here, there are the unending realms of divine glory that a few, very few, but a few have gone into. And those are called the spiritual travelers. Jesus the Christ was one such. And their job is to find you and take you home when you've had enough of this 3-day fare, which is all life here, the third dimension is. It's a 3-day fare. So pass through it. Be detached. Don't try to control outcome. You don't know what the outcome should be. But allow the one who has designed everything to end in love and joy. Leave the outcome to that one and be happy. So in all things, give praise and glory to God. Let every hair on your body, like that of the little, of the greatest of the saints, be heard to repeat the divine names. Let every cell of your being praise God. Let everything within you and without praise God. May everything that lives and breathes praise God. So I hope this has been helpful. Let's take a deep breath and go out chanting 3 Anai Hues, which is the chant of divine oneness, empathy, and love. Deep breath. Anai Hues. Blessings, love, and grace to each one of you. Namaste.